Adam, do you?
Live from the great state of Texas, welcome to the Texas Homeschool Convention Show. We're about to go live from the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. This year's Texas Homeschool Convention is underway right now in Fort Worth, Texas. Get ready for a candid behind-the-scenes interview with our very special guest. The show is live, so please comment during the show.
Texas Homeschool Convention is more than a podcast show. We're a vibrant community, a gathering of people supporting one another in the incredible journey of raising the next generation of world changers.
Now, grab a seat, get comfortable, and join families throughout the United States and around the world as we dive into today's conversation. Live from Texas is the Texas Homeschool Convention Show.
Hi from the Fort Worth Convention Center. Welcome back. And if you have been following our podcast, we want to say thank you. We are just having this opportunity powered by Spirit Media to be able to come to you live, giving conversation opportunities, some of the coolest people on the planet. And if you're not here, well, you're here. You know what I mean? Even right now as I'm talking, I'm hearing the sound of kids laughing in the background. And I know that upstairs there's a kids convention happening. There are thousands of people in this building in workshops learning about homeschooling and in this exhibit hall. And later it's going to get even crazier with free shopping. If you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and you're a homeschooler or you're interested, you still have opportunity to come on over for the rest of the day. We would love to have you join us, but I know that some of you, that's not a possibility for where you live. And so we're so thankful that we get to come to you live and in replay. And I know that you're going to want to meet my new friend, Friends Forever, Maranatha Sweet from Abeka. Maranatha, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Texas Homeschool Convention.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
So for those in our audience who has not been able to be part of the workshop, can you just give us some of your highlights?
So I get to do two of my favorites for this convention. So one of my roles or careers, if you will, was as a professional organizer. And I get to do two sessions on helping homeschoolers be more organized and take that benefit back to their homes. And they're sister sessions. So if you attend both of them, you're going to get triple the benefit, if you will, because they build off of each other. But you can come to one or the other and you'll still get great content. And like I said, they're some of my favorites. I have such a good time with those who come into the workshops and just talking through how to make that benefit them.
I love it. I love organization. It just is so satisfying. I know some people don't like it. I am a minimalist. Clutter makes me crazy. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the way you are. So could you maybe just give us some behind the scenes tips?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I am not a minimalist, but I do try to decide what's useful in life. And I'm more into the like Mary Poppins kind of person who always has everything, the just in case kind of things, but in a way that's very functional. For example, my kitchen does not have a junk drawer in it.
Really?
No junk drawer, but I do have two small utility drawers because there are things you need that are just kind of random objects in your kitchen, but that function in your kitchen, like the markers for labeling your bags that are going in the freezer, that kind of thing. So those are little bit of tips. We're going to talk about things like Swedish death cleaning, shaving a yak. We're going to get into how to eat an elephant, which pretty much everybody knows, but how do you apply that in your life, in your organization? So I do not only space organizing, but also task organizing and how to get that kind of clutter out of your life. Because as you said, clutter makes you crazy. And if it's mental clutter, that's just as difficult to work through as physical clutter is in your home.
Whoa. I feel like we should stop right now and do some reels of her saying, okay, here's a tip. Okay, so imagine the camera is stopping and you're going to go on and give us one tip. What could that be?
Start with a blank slate. When you're going to organize clean that space out completely, and then only bring back the things that you actually use in that space, or in, for example, the junk drawer turning into a utility drawer, only the things that actually function go back in there. So those random things that you don't actually know what they're from or what they do, but you're holding on to them just in case, you know, they're important, they go.
Okay. So now if you have any organizational questions or anything that's just you think that Maranatha would have an answer for, drop it in the comments. And if we don't get a chance to respond, I mean, things are pretty crazy around here right now, but we will respond. And if you have questions specific for Maranatha, we will make sure to get those to her so that she can get back with you. But if that's not the case, what's the best way they could reach you?
So they can look for my website. It's called Sweetly Stowed, and that's S-T-O-W-E-D, like a board ship. I have a nautical theme going. And they'll find a few podcast type, not podcasts, but like blog entries in there. Because I'm now working for Abeka, I'm no longer full-time organizing. So my website is current, but it's not, you know, fleshed out the way it would be if I were actively working right now with organizing, although I still have clients and I still do random organizing, like a friend who was in the hospital, so I had free access to organize the pantry.
Ooh. What's the first step in organizing a pantry?
Putting like items together. Although I also am a fan of kits in the pantry. So if it's, say, dinner, and you're going to make tacos, maybe you're a regular Taco Tuesday night, then I'll keep all of the ingredients together for that dinner, even in a bin or a container that you can just pull it out and you've got dinner ready to go.
Okay, as soon as I get home back from Texas to Ohio, I'm going to try that. That sounds so cool. All right, you mentioned that you're working with Abeka now. So can you tell us about that part of your world?
Yeah, so for many years taught in a small Christian school, and then God closed the door on that. But my heart is in Christian education. Now, in the middle of that is when I opened up my organizing business, and God used that tremendously for me. But this opportunity to work for Abeka as an educational consultant came up, which allowed me to go back into my heart of Christian education. I was homeschooled, and then I went to a very tiny Christian school, which is where I taught, I think like one room schoolhouse, just about. But that's been my heart, my passion, my calling. So even though my business was going great and I loved it, this has far more eternal consequences, if you will, or fruits really, that allows me now to go around and help people, whether it's at homeschool conventions like this, where I can talk with parents who have questions, many who are just getting started with homeschooling and want to know everything, or the ones who want to know the nuances of plane geometry or something like that. So I get to travel around and help people in that way, which is amazing, and I love it.
That is so great. Can we, before I ask you the next question, can we just take a little pause and you tell us about your family, and then I want to go into maybe some of the questions that you hear from people, and you could give the answers.
Okay. So as far as my family, there's my husband and I. I've been married for almost 19 years now. God has not blessed us with children. So for me, I so enjoy being out with families that are at homeschool conventions. Of course, when I was teaching, those were my children, my kids, right?
Yes.
But my really credit my mom. You know, my mom's my favorite teacher. She started us homeschooling back in the early 80s when, in Oregon particularly, it wasn't necessarily legal to do that. And there weren't nearly the supports that you have now, which are so amazing for families. Obviously, so many curriculum to choose from, but all of the ways that you can get help and community as a homeschooler, they didn't exist back then. And mom was actually afraid of not doing a good job. So when I was in kindergarten and my older sister was second grade, and she homeschooled us using Abeka materials, but didn't finish the books in that year. And she felt like she'd failed. Again, being brand new to it and not having any support. So she put us into the local public school that next year and found out that both of us were right about 2 years ahead of our classmates, which gave her back the confidence.
Yeah.
So we went back to homeschooling, which fit our lives really well. Dad was in the service. We moved very often. We had 12 addresses by the time I was 12 years old. So my sisters were my friends and my classmates. And like I said, my mom was my favorite teacher. Can't help that. Daddy doesn't get that credit because he was away serving. Mom was doing the teaching.
Yeah.
So we did that lifestyle that took us from the Pacific West Coast up into Alaska because my dad wanted to go gold mining. And we were able to take, you know, pack all our books up and off we went. We lived up there for about 4 years and had a wonderful experience before God moved us all the way across the country to New Hampshire, which is where I'm planted now with my husband.
Wow. You should write a book.
Wouldn't it be fun?
It would be fun.
I know.
You would read it, right? I know you would. So as you're at your booth and you are fielding calls that come into Abeka, what are some of the common questions or scenarios that you hear about?
So it's such a wide range. Some people will walk in and just ask me to tell them about Abeka, which is very, very broad and a challenging question to answer. And some have, like I said, specific questions. But when I get to talk to parents who are thinking about homeschooling, my big goal is to encourage them to develop a long-range plan, not just look at today or this year and what they want to teach or what their children are interested in, but to have that big plan of what it's going to take to get their children all the way through. Because once you have that plan, then this goes back into the organizing side of things, you can work the plan and then you're no longer needing to make decisions all the time. Decision fatigue is very real. Every day, what to do for dinner, how often do we end up having cereal for dinner?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And no judgment, but that thinking process, the planning ahead is so valuable.
Yeah.
And of course, with Abeka specifically, because it's a program designed that you can go from 2 years old all the way up through graduation and have all the what we call cross-subject correlation using spiral review. So if a child doesn't quite get the concept 1 year, it's going to be reviewed again in the upcoming years, which gives a lot of peace of mind for parents.
It really does.
Yeah. Yes.
As a homeschooler, I found that to be I could breathe almost because I thought, if I miss it this year, I am a failure. So could you, maybe if somebody doesn't know that, they've not been to a convention, they have explain that spiral?
Yes. So spiral review is the idea of introducing concepts a little bit at a time and coming back to it and reviewing it. So you think of a spiral that's increasing because we're getting more and more challenging. For example, we start to introduce concepts for multiplication and division in first grade, but they don't know that that's what we're doing. And we're laying the foundation through things like counting by twos, counting by threes, counting by fours, which is more challenging. Then we work up from there. In second grade, we start to teach them some of the terminology and they're beginning to see what a multiplication sentence looks like. And then in third grade, we're going to really concentrate on them mastering multiplication. But we're going to continue to practice that all the way up through fourth, fifth, sixth grade. And then when you think about you get to high school, you're using those multiplication skills, but in a different application, whether it's working with X's and Y's, but that foundation is laid and built very solidly so that the children can really become automatic in that kind of a skill. They're no longer having to think about it. And again, that frees up their brain to think about the more difficult applications of it. And so you think about that critical thinking. They need facts in order to be able to think with them. And that's what we really intentionally build up from little on up.
Do you have questions? I know that's encouraging. And if you do have those questions, make sure to drop them in the chat. Somebody's asking, will there be any more on later today? Yep. In fact, today, tomorrow, and Saturday, we're going to be live podcasting from the exhibit hall of the Texas Homeschool Convention. So if you can come on live, great. But if you just watch the replay, it's okay. We'd just love to have you join us, and we would be honored for you to do that. So we've got just a few more minutes, and I don't know if you have anything else that you would like to encourage us with.
So as I shared, my heart is for Christian education, having that intentional instruction of children to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I know that that's the heart of many homeschoolers as well, that there is it too. You know, that those two aspects, their spiritual health and their academic health, are what make a difference in their whole lives. And of course, yes, for eternity as well. So when we have that opportunity to encourage one another to do that so very well, and the intentionality, I can't under or over emphasize that being intentional about this, having a clear plan and following through with that plan, even when the feelings don't necessarily support it.
Right.
Because there are days when it's super tough, right? Sure. And there are times when you're discouraged, like my mom was, not thinking she was doing it well enough. There are times that your children might not be super excited about it. I was not the best student. My older sister was more your classic, loves to learn. She volunteered to learn Latin. And today she's a chemist, so it really makes a lot of good sense. But you know what? She didn't enjoy arithmetic or math in general. And because of the feelings that were involved, mom didn't make her learn it as well as she did Latin and things that she enjoyed. And my sister now, who's, well, we won't give away ages, but she looks back and says, I wish that mom and the teachers that we had in the Christian school had held her a little bit more accountable to learn those things that aren't fun to learn, weren't her favorite thing, but now she wishes.
Earlier, I had the opportunity to work in the registration line as thousands of people were coming into the convention center, and I was able to say hi. I had one mom share this with me, and perhaps I didn't tell you ahead of time. So if you don't have something, just say I don't have something. But she said, I'm here because I just need day after day, and then my house is out of control, and I just want to quit. If you could talk to that mom,
so one would be, as far as the space itself, is to take small chunks of the space and work on improving that over time. You're not going to try to tackle the whole house because that's overwhelming.
Right.
But that's how we feel, is like, I have to organize my house. But instead, break it down to, I need to organize my front entry or my personal bathroom. Use this, do the spaces that are your common everyday spaces. Don't work on your attic first. And then on the school side of it, let me encourage you to establish a routine. Set yourself up with a schedule and make yourself stick to it like you do any other budget or plan, that once you've laid it out, and it's in your freedom on how you lay it out, then let it hold you accountable, because it's going to help you on those days when you don't feel like doing it. You're not, your students or your children aren't enjoying themselves, but sometimes you have to do hard things in order to get that good result at the end.
Oh, great, great advice. So check out sweetlystowed.com, and you will see some vlogs there, and I'm sure there's a way that they can contact you.
You can reach out via email.
Okay, reach out by email, and I tell you what, this has been so much fun. Thank you for joining us here in Texas.
It's really fun meeting you and getting to speak to everyone out there, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Sounds great. Thanks, friends. We're going to take a quick break, but there are a lot more podcasts on the schedule, and they're coming up quickly, so don't miss any of them. We appreciate you so much for being a part of this. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us live from the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas.
We hope you are leaving encouraged, equipped, and empowered to take on this week as an intentional parent.
Be sure to subscribe on YouTube and never miss an episode.
No matter where you are in your journey, we are here to support you. Make sure to check out our website at conventions.thsc.org. Come join our community.
This has been the Texas Homeschool Convention Show. Have a request for who you'd like to be on our show? Email us at events@thsc.org and tell us more. We always love hearing from you. We will see you next week.